Blog Talk Radio.
We got
Josh Corbell of the PayPal 14. That's pretty awesome. And then we have one on K Street, right?
Yep.
Great.
When on K Street and I are simulcasting live from the belly of the beast from Washington D.C.
Wow, so that's pretty awesome.
We're in the same room.
How's it going?
We're in the same room, and Kay and I met on the
during Sandy.
Yes,
during Hurricane Sandy.
When Hurricane Sandy befell Washington D.C., Kay and I decided it would be a good idea to go to the banks of the Potomac River and gallivant around. It was great, quite a great first meeting. I'm happy to have him here with us. Like I said, we're in D.C. Got off the plane today and driving from National Airport in. A little quiet inside the Beltway. Not a lot of people working, but we're psyched to be here tonight and to have our first real show, Dalek. And I thank you. And I think Josh Covelli will be calling in soon from the PayPal 14. We'll talk about what he thinks about sort of that label. We'll talk about where those arrests originated from, at least from the research that I've done. And, we're looking to have a great show. How are you doing, Dalek? How's life in Colorado?
It's definitely amazing. We also have CNY Rebel also on the soundboard right now, and also now Josh Corbell. Actually, he was on there for about a few moments. So this is awesome. I think we might as well bring him on live.
Yeah, let's do that. I definitely want to give Josh a platform to speak his mind and feel at liberty to discuss whatever he would like to discuss, besides, sort of his ongoing trials and tribulations. So yeah, let's bring him on.
Okay, so Josh, you are on the line.
Hey guys, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Welcome,
awesome.
Josh. Yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate you taking the time out taking the opportunity to kind of give us a little insight into all the shit you've been going through, and also I think it's relevant to maybe touch on the recent op payback or arrests and what your thoughts are there. But what I'd really like to do is kind of just let you have the floor for a while, as long as you're comfortable with, and just let us know what happened. I think we go back to 2010, 2011.
Right in December there, or well, it would have been November, or October, November. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, right in there when the hammer started coming down. I guess why don't we sort of start with just how you became involved in activism, or specifically in the freedom of speech area of politics or activism, or
I'm going to jump in.
What brought you to Anonymous, per se? What drew you to hacktivism?
Okay, well, nothing drew to Anonymous, per se. I mean, there's no per se about it. It wasn't about Anonymous. So, but I don't know how much of that I can really get into without going into my legal issue.
With your non-agreements, et cetera.
Right, right. There are certain things I'm not supposed to talk about, and I've already been yelled at so many different times, so I gotta. But yeah, it wasn't. I'll just say, like, it wasn't about Anonymous. There was nothing. Anonymous was nothing like it glamorized and romanticized about today. So.
Right on. And you, one thing I think is that's terrific is your, you know, despite probably the legal chains you have around your ankles, you're still really active and outspoken. I've got a lot of respect for that, you know, sort of staying defiant in the face of law, and you just
trial and hardship.
Yeah. And you just kind of mentioned, you know, that, you know, there's certain things you can and you can't talk about. How has the legalese impeded sort of the everyday, you know, goings on almost two years later now?
Well, I mean, obviously at first it was heavy-handed. They took away everything. I was locked down to certain areas. They wanted to know where I was. They wanted me to call in and check in and whatnot. And then lawyers started coming in, and we started getting more stuff back where we were allowed to be back on the internet, and we were allowed to be on Twitter again because Kershaw told him in court that we needed to talk to the president or some shit, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But so we were allowed back on Twitter. And so slowly but surely we were able to get things back. We're still not supposed to technically talk to Anons, I don't think. I just don't press that issue because I've already pressed enough issues on my own. And we're not allowed to talk to each other because they think we're going to conspire on Twitter in public to kill people or something. I don't know. But,
right. You know, interesting because at least in the, you know, in the group that have been labeled the PayPal 14, it was it really was quite a wide range of demographic, you know, of different types of people. From what I've been able to ascertain, none of you guys had any connection before. This was all just, you know, I mean, what did they do? They picked your names out of hats, and you know, you guys were the ones that FBI came down on of all the thousands of people who participated in that attack. I find that that whole dynamic of the situation, the widespread makeup of the people who were charged, along with just sort of the global reach of you know, especially in this time 2011 where, you know, a lot of attacks were going on like this, that they singled certain people out, plucked them out of a hat. I think I kind of lost my question in that. But
no, I think I know where you're going with it. And it makes, like, you have to look at it as, and I've done even more of my own research because obviously it's kind of what's happened, but supposedly PayPal is running mitigation software, and through that mitigation software, they were able to, like, trap IPs. And they gathered 1,000 of them up and sent them off to the FBI. The FBI tracked down 1,000 and hit 40 people. Out of the 40 people, the first 14 were raided and arrested. And then now there's this new group who is 12 new ones and one of our co-defendants.
do you agree with the fact that a DDoS attack is illegal?
Is what now?
That a DDoS attack is illegal. Or would you side with the fact that a DDoS attack is a simple sit-in, a digital sit-in? Would you agree with that?
I mean, I have a problem with the premise of legality to begin with, but for the sake of argument, I think that there, if you're going to impose something, I think it should be a fine worthy. I think it should be something that.
It's legal.
Right. It's same as the guys that, you know, got arrested for Occupy and stuff. They spent some time in jail. They chilled out. They did their thing. And they came back out and told their stories. Like, be a part of it if you have to be a part of it. Stand up and be a cause. You got to stand up for it. But.
Well, I mean.
It shouldn't be at the extreme that it is.
Yeah, no, it should never extend to the sentencing that they're looking at right now, in my opinion.
I'll agree with both of you guys. I mean, I think a lot of what we're seeing in these sort of draconian sentences from you guys, to Barrett, Brown, to Weave, to Higgs, these sentences that really don't equate to the crime or the act of civil disobedience. And I know all the cases that I just mentioned vary within the means of the law. But, I equate it sort of to the opening salvo of the Nancy Reagan Just Say No to Drugs drug war, where sentencing guidelines weren't really established. And in this new wave of conflict, which was, at this point the drug war, and now could be called just, and now it's, they've dropped the drug war and it seems like the cyber war is the new domestic, battle du jour, where the prosecutors try to push these crazy sentences to sort of establish a precedent for punishing, for taking punitive measures to the farthest extent of the law to set an example for those who may follow. And that's not at all the way our legal system is supposed to operate. I think that as far as the sentences that do come out, whatever happens, I know you guys, a lot of you guys are on maybe the better side of the equation than others, but we got to fight these sentences that come out and equate our equate activities of civil disobedience that are taken over on the internet, as they try to establish the baseline for the severity or the perceived severity of these crimes. I think that everything that we can do to push back, it's worth it. It's worth pushing back. And I have in the PayPal 14 case, as I've observed it and watched it, I think the time that's elapsed from arrest to sentencing, that duration, although it might be an awful pain in the fucking ass for you guys, I think it does served you guys better than worse. What do you think about that? I mean, man, it's got to be a nightmare, you know, without question.
It's been both. I mean, I can't obviously speak for the rest of my defendants or rest of my co-defendants. You know, because they've gone through their own lives and their own things. Some are better, some are not, you know. Like, I failed a piss test twice and once spent 30 days in a halfway house spending time with guys who had just spent 10 years in prison. And then I failed another piss test after I got back, and they sent me to rehab. In California and Berkeley. So my experiences through this 2 years has been completely different than, you know, everybody else's. I don't know. Look,
looking at, like, Aaron Swartz, who committed suicide because of the charges pressed against him, like, are we in agreement that the sentencing that they threatened you with,
mm-hmm.
that they do, you know, with anybody charged under CFAA or, you know, any number of laws,
mm-hmm.
Do you not feel that those are exaggerated and, you know?
Oh yeah, completely exaggerated. I mean, and that's the point is it shows to the public that look what we're going to do to this person. And then it scares off people, and then they let the story drop under the radar. And then it falls away. Just like Hammond, why isn't Hammond being talked about in everything else in the world? Why was only Aaron talked about? And why is Aaron dropped off the map? Aaron should still be talked about as a massive understanding of what these charges can do and what these scare tactics do to people. It destroys lives.
When the FBI rolls into your house and threatens you with, you know, a 40-year sentence, or all Aaron was trying to do was free information.
Yeah, that
was all he was trying to do. He didn't even mm-hmm. hack anything. He just copied some articles from LexisNexis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and what's ridiculous is half of those articles were created through publicly funded scientific,
every one of them.
Yeah,
every one of Jay Storr's articles.
Yeah.
Jay
Storr. I'm sorry, I said LexisNexis. Jay Storr.
You know, every Jay Storr article is written by a professor under
NIH
under the research dollars of a university of the academic. You know, ivory tower, you know, and not to steal a quote from the 60s, but, you know, I see a lot of the smartest, brightest people involved in sort of pushing back this wave of you know, whatever you want to call it, police state, militarization, crackdown. You know, these are smart.
Well, you can see it during Occupy.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, these are smart, sensitive kids and young adults and adults, and to loom over their head the threat of years and years in prison. While they can look at Bradley Manning rotting away in solitary, that's a huge mental burden, man. And I respect you for taking that on, and I appreciate you for it. I don't think you should have to, But it is, you know, it's.
Can I just say, hold on for like 2 seconds. Can I just say that is the awkward thing for me to hear? Like, I always like just like say thank you, but like, I don't know how to talk about that part because I don't understand it. I'm just living a life and I'm just trying to be cool. and make life better. And I can see a bigger picture. I don't know why other people can't. I don't know why I feel like a fucking psycho when I talk to people, but like, I just want everybody to see this, that this can be better than this, that we're well better than this, that this stupid fucking system is not what we're meant to be. So
I completely agree. Like, there's that. Why can't everybody fucking understand that we're all human beings? It doesn't matter what fucking side of a border you come from. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do. You're still a human being. Like, you deserve to be treated like one. Like, why is that such a difficult concept for, and apparently it is, for a lot of people to understand?
And Josh, would you say, you know, I think a lot of us feel that way. You know, I don't, by us, I mean, you know, just us on speaking here, but that, you know, when you start to speak about what you think or what I think the world should look like, and you start to feel that, wow, am I talking some, you know, utopian, you know, new age ideological bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to resist those feelings of insecurity and doubt, because where those come from is the system succeeding in making common sense seem irrational.
Right.
And this is one of the most successful grifts and tricks that is pulled on us. Generationally or whatever, you know, day in and day out, is that when...
By the way, you're talking to a sociology major right now.
And when people start to...
Neat.
You know, people start to feel like they're making a breakthrough and that they want to share that breakthrough and want to share, hey, look, this is crazy. All this stuff is nuts. And we need to step back, adjust, slow down, and start thinking about things on human terms, on connected terms, then
doubt. Yeah, but you can't do that right off the bat. How did you wake up? I mean, I know it sounds stupid as cliche or whatever, but how did you wake up? Did you wake up not screaming and yelling, wanting to burn down Washington, D.C., the second you realized what the fuck was actually going on, or at least had a taste? You can't expect somebody to automatically go from, hey, I'm awake too. Okay, I'm gonna get these details on humans and how they work and how we're gonna make utopia. It's not, and we're still going through that wave. We're still waking people up. There's still a bunch of people on Facebook listening to KY. I don't know why, but they're at least starting to get that there's something else going on. I mean, I hate the fact that it's KY, but they're still listening.
I still go back and forth between wanting to burn and then saying, well, you know what, that's...
But you've caught on to reality. You've seen this. I can't walk up to the White House and throw a torch and it's going to go up in flames. It's not going to work that way. I've got to somehow work with people. I've got to somehow make this work. And this, you know, being on the radio show is one thing that's awesome to do, because we're actually getting the words out there, which I love. I love all the radio shows, man. Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
One more thing, just with the connection, the human experience, that's what the human experience is, it's just connecting with each other. Maybe we should right now, we should bring in PNY Rebel, if you guys want to.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring him on. Yeah,
hi,
Rebel, you are on the air.
Is this Vince in the Bay?
Oh, he's got jokes.
Is this Vince? Oh, shit, I called the wrong fucking show. God damn it.
Look at him.
Yeah, Rebel, this is Vince. What's up, Rebel? How are you, man?
Oh, I'm having a fantastic evening. How are you gentlemen doing?
Not too bad. Over under coming in for you?
Quite well.
I got killed this weekend. I got fucking murdered this weekend. Absolutely murdered.
Uh-oh. Well, there's always next weekend.
It's only money. The government prints new money every day, so we're good.
Exactly. There you go.
Josh, my nigga, what's happening, brother?
What's going on, Rebel? Not too much, man. Just chilling with these guys, having a good conversation.
It's a good show, right?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. First show, you guys are doing great. You got a nice little audience here in the chat. I'm sure there's more people listening. I'm trying to promo you guys on Twitter as much as possible. I'm enjoying the show, man. Let's get this thing going.
Right on, right on. And
before I actually say anything, in about 15 more minutes, Freehammond might call in to actually tell a little bit about Freehammond and also probably about the letter party that is around the 19th, I think.
Nice. Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think Gonzo's going to call in, too.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's great. Gonzo, on Puppy's last show, I thought Gonzo was great. Very pragmatic. Very pragmatic. Almost to frustration, but gotta love it. Hey, Dalek, going back to what you just said before Rebel came on, you know, I think that there, and what Josh said, I think that there is this, you know, there is this transition period that we have to put up with, and, you know, whether that this period of transition will terminate while we're alive or will continue on after the dead is yet to be seen, but the transition is moving towards a new way of looking at society, and a lot of it has to do with money, and luckily the Fed will keep printing it, but, you know, the way that society and especially younger people look at money, and, you know, I think, unfortunately, that through this transition, through any transition, through any historical period, there are going to be casualties of the transition. And, you know, right now, people like Jeremy Hammond and Josh Covelli, you know, and even Mercedes, Barrett Brown, you know, I could go on and on. You know, these are casualties of this transition. And to make sure that they stay in our consciousness and in our thoughts, you know, on a daily basis, it's critical. It's critical to continuing the momentum or any momentum that we build and hope to,
You had me until you said I have to keep Mercedes Haefner in my thoughts daily.
There's not enough space.
What, you're against Mercedes? Well, you don't have to keep her in those thoughts daily, but Rebel, you see what I'm getting at. It's just that, you know, and Josh mentioned it. You know, why isn't Jeremy Hammond, you know, a subject daily, or even, you know, Snowden? I mean, for Christ's sakes, our national collective consciousness has already forgot about the chemical attacks in Syria, and it's less than 6 months, or excuse me, 6 weeks later, 7 weeks later, and you don't hear a thing about them.
Really, it's what it's come down to, and I think Josh will agree with this, is the world is always changing. It's always evolving. Things are always moving forward. We can talk about government shutdowns. We can talk about chemicals in Syria. You can talk about anything you want. The world is always evolving, and something that I've seen in the United States in the last year or two is the people kind of standing up and saying, you know what, the world's evolving, our country's evolving. We want to say in which direction we're going to go in. And I've seen a little bit of resistance from our national government to the people that are that I how do I put this that have the balls to stand up and say what needs to be said, you know, voice their opinion and say, this is the way we should be moving our country in. And then all of a sudden we have our Barrett Browns and we have our Hammonds and we have our, you know, people like that, the PayPal 14. These are the people that they've bringing the activism to a new level. That's what the internet has done for us. It's not your mom and your dad's activism where you go outside with a sign and you march on Washington. Now it's all done over the internet. And
it's the activism 2.0, bro.
That's exactly what it is.
I will. There's a lot of people in Anonymous and within the Occupy movement that have, you know, also done physical activism. I participated myself and, you know, the March for Brown Manning. I was outside Fort Meade. It's not activism 2.0. It's activism that you can also do at home when you're not able to be out in the streets.
No, not necessarily, because when, what was it? What protest was it where the cops ended up having to pick people up because they were using Twitter as comm stations? They were actually hitting people's houses because they were tweeting out where the cops were. This is activism 2.0.
That was during Occupy.
This is not just sit at home. This is like multifaceted. What we have communications, they have communications.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that was Kay's point, was kind of like that what the internet offers is an opportunity to participate even in downtime. You know, if you don't have the cash to get somewhere and actively participate, or your studies, are in the way and are clearly a priority, or whatever it is, that the internet offers another component to activism, to the same activism that's been going on. Exactly, and now we have this tool that not only helps us to participate when we can't physically be present, but coordinate. And I think that goes to one of the reasons why I wanted to have this first show with you from what I hear you saying, you don't like this moniker, but you and your co-defendants represent sort of, you know, this augmented tool that is at our disposal that is trying to be mitigated or taken away from us, and that's why it's so imperative that, you know, that we speak our voice and say, no, you cannot take this away from us. You can't take this tool away from us. You can't leverage, complicated legalese and draconian sentencing threats to take this out of our tool belt.
Right.
Yeah. Just actually using it as a tool and stuff. I didn't really. You already knew that Gonzo, he was on, but so Gonzo is now live. Are you Gonzo? Sorry, I didn't tell you.
Oh, I'm live. Hey, good evening, guys. No, I've just been listening quietly. I don't feel any need to interject or interrupt.
Well, thanks for calling in,
Gonzo. Absolutely, it's a pleasure. I'm glad you guys have a radio show. I'm looking forward to see where it goes from here.
Right on.
I understand that later on John Cusack is going to be calling in.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Is that the real John Cusack who's that actively involved in all of this stuff?
Well, yeah, since he has a whole bunch of money and nothing to do, since nobody hires him to do anything anymore.
Dude, he hasn't had money for a while.
He may as well be an activist because the money that he's getting from reruns from his movies on DirecTV probably are just keeping his head above water. He does have that really cool picture of him wasted with Johnny Depp, Hunter Thompson, and a blow-up doll that he can go on, though. So that's pretty impressive.
That's
legit. Hunter S. Thompson, come on.
I look at that picture and I go, oh, my God, Cusack has all the credibility in the world because he was with Johnny Depp and Hunter Thompson in a convertible with a blow-up doll that one time. And that's before Cusack thought about hair plugs and then decided not to have hair plugs. And, where is my Cusack ninja? We need a my Cusack ninja.
Yeah.
There is no ninja for him.
I'm creating it right now.
Thank you.
You know, Cusack like sidled in on that picture with Thompson.
Oh, he was in the back of the convertible, looking completely confused because somebody had stuck a whole bunch of blotter in his mouth, and he had no idea where he was.
Yeah, exactly. Well said.
Jesus Christ, where am I?
I have the greatest Hunter S. Thompson story.
Oh, I'm kind of a fan. Just a little.
Just a little. Aren't we all?
Just
all right.
A little kind of tiny bit.
This may, anybody smart may be able to connect me to this. My uncle worked for the Carter administration.
I'm sorry. That's probably not something I put on my resume. But okay.
No, I'm not.
So
my uncle worked
for
the biggest losing resume.
We got Jews in the house.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson was a journalist on the trail. And fucking somebody in the administration didn't give him an interview. And so he took a can of lighter fluid and lit their hotel door on fire. And was like, what you get for not giving me an interview? The hotel had to put out the fire.
Hunter used to have quarter kilos of Coke FedEx to his hotel room.
Yeah, I'm sure he lit the door on fire with Lyser. He literally just lit the door on fire.
Right.
Didn't even get arrested. Was still on the presidential detail after. Like, he just told them off and was like, well, fucking give
lighter fluid. Lighter fluid notwithstanding. When you have quarter kilos of cocaine Federal Express to your hotel room, you're on an entirely different
'70s
level.
So.
That was the late '80s. It wasn't. FedEx actually didn't exist in the early '70s, but yeah, you know, I'm just saying that. Hunter lived a different life than everybody else lived. There was everybody else, and then there was Hunter.
One of those individuals that set the bar. Not
oh,
high,
yeah,
but also in a different plane.
He didn't set a high bar. He set a bar.
And last thing on the Hunter S. Thompson tangent, but I wish he hadn't killed himself. But, you know.
Well, you know, here's the thing with Hunter was Hunter had a good run, and actually I've got his suicide note on a T-shirt.
Cool.
And he, the only person I know that ever had their suicide note screen printed and sold, he lived a long time past when he should have on a number of different levels. And he, think what you want of suicide, but Hunter left on his own terms, when he was done. And he ended his own book. That's not the same as a bullied teenager hanging themselves with their dad's necktie in a closet because they got bullied on Facebook. Hunter just saw all the chapters through, and when there was nothing left, he ended the book. So, you know, I think that Hunter's suicide was equitable to a samurai who had somehow been dishonored. Except that with Hunter, it wasn't that he'd been dishonored. He was just done. There was just nothing left. Believe me, there is nothing more. I miss nothing more than hearing. I would love to hear what Hunter has to say about all this shit. He would be spitting pissed and blowing holes in things and apocalyptic. He'd be apocalyptic or apoplectic, rather,
right.
Regarding, you know, what's going on right now. And, I mean, we definitely are less of a race for being able to hear his take on this. But he'd been disappointed for a long time. He'd been disillusioned since, well, Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail 72 is probably one of the best political books you'll ever read.
Yeah.
But it's also a book chronicling somebody who really, really wanted to get behind something and became completely and utterly disillusioned with the whole thing. And, you know, I just read Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail 72 for the probably 15th time about 3 weeks ago in light of the things that have been going on lately, and realized that everything that he said in 1973 about published in 73 or 74 about 1972 is completely relevant in the last election and the election before it and the election before it. It's all really, really a big fucking mess. And it's really a mess because of term limits and career politicians. In Australia, there was just, I'll give you for instance, a politician who was pro-gun control voted through a measure that controlled guns as a result of him voting for controlling guns. He lost his job. When he was asked, "Are you sorry you lost your job because you voted to control guns?" he said, "Hell no. I'm glad we controlled guns." And they said, actually it was on the Colbert Report, and I can't cite it or link it or whatever, but Stephen Colbert said, "But your job is to be a career politician." He said, "No, my job is to do what's best for the people. I don't give a shit about being a career politician." Colbert said, "But I don't understand that." And he said, "Well, of course you wouldn't understand that, because everyone in your fucking country, once you get into office, your job is keeping your job, just like if you were repairing dishwashers. And, you know, if we didn't have people like Donald Rumsfeld and Scooter Libby and a bunch of people that won't go the fuck away, if we turned over our government like a lot of Europe does every 2 to 4 years, we wouldn't have the problems that we've got now. But we have people who, Strom Thurmond is a perfect example. The fucking guy had to die before he'd actually leave office. He was 90-some-odd years old before he keeled over dead, and they finally went, "Oh, well, your seat's open." And he was pro. He hated black people, yet he had a child with a black woman. He was anti-segregation.
Don't we all?
Well, you know, rebel. Rebel, I don't want to talk about your country club issues right now. just because a really cute chick cuts your grass, Rebel, doesn't mean you should father children with her, even if she's got a green card.
Hey, Gonzo, let me read a quick quote from Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail 72. I just handed him my first edition of that book. And I think it speaks not only to, you know, what you're talking about in Hunter S. Thompson, but also sort of to those of us who are old enough to kind of see the cyclical nature of, you know, of what's going on. Hunter S. Thompson writes, "In retrospect, hell of a lot different from that year I spent with the Hells Angels, or running amok in Las Vegas, or even running for sheriff on the Freak Power ticket in Aspen, Colorado. The faces change, but the trip is pretty consistent, which is fine with me. Every year I feel more and more like a wino turned loose in a tasting room. And if that doesn't come through in this book, try backing off a bit and reading a little tighter between the lines. And, I think that pretty much encapsulates why Thompson stepped off Spaceship Earth. It's just seeing the same ship on a different day with different faces, with the same oppressors, with the same powers dropping the hammer.
And Perry Farrell said, you know the men you hate, you look more like them every day. And
yeah, what are your thoughts on?
It is incredibly relevant that as we age, it's incredibly important that as we age, or as we come of age, that we don't repeat, if you will, the mistakes of our fathers. And I'll bring my father into this. My father is a born and bred, dipped in blue ink Republican. Now, he's in his mid-70s, and he thought through my 20s, which were quite a while ago, he thought I was a lefty, Nazi, liberal, crazy, liberal, lefty. My old man thought I was my old man probably thought I was a Black Panther, except there was a bit of a skin tone issue. I mean, we would start to talk about politics, and this giant brick wall would go up. You know, he'd say blah 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 this, and I'd say blah 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 that, and there would be this giant brick wall. And I mean, my dad wears a T-shirt that says, like, no Obama. And I'm not saying that I actually now, say 5 years in, I'm not saying I disagree with him. But we had lots and lots of philosophical differences over the years that were as different as night and day. Nowadays, he thinks that both sides are completely and utterly fucked. Now,
don't we all? At this point,
we do.
Comes full circle because
the thing is, man, there are no sides. There are no sides. There should only be just us and what is best for all of us.
Exactly.
There should be no sides. And
exactly.
Boner or Bonner.
What is best for humanity? And
right. What's best for people? Right. And it's not about the little guy or the big guy or whatever
exactly.
else. And the Republicans, quote, holding the Democrats hostage over health care while the budget goes blah, 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 blah. They're all, both sides, they're all fucking idiots. Because none of them will meet in the middle to do what's best for everyone. We hired these people. We elected them in their never-ending paychecks and birth to death health care and all the shit that they have that we'll never have to do what's best for us. And then we keep electing them because they bring defense contract money to our states, and they bring pork and bridges that don't need to be built, and a whole bunch of other queer shit, and we keep electing them because people are too stupid to realize that if you want to change it.
Cities that actually need new bridges. No, because that's really
true. Look, man,
exactly.
If we want to change everything, then what we need to do is clean fucking house. Clean house. Get rid of all these people and put a whole bunch of people in that aren't a bunch of self-centered fuckheads.
You know what
that
I
will do for people what people need done.
Can I propose a real pirate party in the United States? A real pirate party. pirate party.
The way to bring change isn't to simply bring in a third party. The libertarians have already tried that, and the Green Party's already tried that. They failed fucking miserably. The thing to do is to clean fucking house with all these assholes in their cushy jobs, where they push buttons and they vote on shit they've never even read, and they admit, I didn't read it, I just voted on it. Fuck all of them. Unemploy every motherfucker in Washington and put new people in who know how to think for themselves, who aren't bought and owned by a bunch of lobbyists.
But how do we do that? Tell me how.
That's
what I want
to know. Okay, like, let's bring it back to Josh.
Because, A, I live in D.C. And
I know A
that works in the district. I know
vote
A.
Vote for people. The easy way to do this is to vote for people who aren't those people.
Voting doesn't work. What's next?
No, voting is absolutely does work. And
Yes,
it has to be utilized correctly. Vote for the people who aren't owned by corporate entities.
I have yet to know one person that has run for office that isn't owned by somebody else.
One of my best friends is a state representative, and that individual is not owned by or did not take a corporate dollar, and is not owned by anybody. Now, that's a representative. That's not a corporate.
I'm just saying I didn't know him, so now I know.
Now I voted for Kenny Mayne's Raspberry Mountain Dew about a year and a half ago, and that won. So fuck you, Aaron Andrews. Voting work.
Dude, that was a vote well cast.
Wasn't there a Hitler Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I think it was called Code Red.
Yeah, called Blitzkrieg.
I think it had 999 calories. I just want you guys to know, while I was listening to the show, I'm watching CNN. They just had a little Anderson Cooper 360. They had a little
Maryville.
Thing on Maryville. Did anyone Ooh. Else happen to just see that?
No,
I didn't. It is on the agenda to talk about a little bit. I participated a little bit yesterday.
They did just successfully use the word anonymous four times during.
Oh that. God.
So KY Anonymous is probably fapping in the bathroom right now, and he'll be back on Twitter soon. So if you're waiting, he'll be so upset.
Out of the woodwork. He's already out. He's already back out and around.
KY had nothing to do with that. He's fapping by himself.
Someone send that kid a book on Manscaping.
Supposedly KY says that he sent in letters to all these news organizations to let them know what was going on. So he's
got all these
people on Facebook following him and his little march down to
all
kill
11
all the rape.
People.
Right.
Fuck him. fuck that kid. He undoubtedly used Gmail, and I'm sure that was right after he contacted his best friend, Roseanne Barr, who thinks that all Persians are of Jewish extraction, and they're all born of like Arabs and black. All Jews are like Persians born of black people, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, look, how about this? We'll go to www.encyclopediadramatica.es/KY_anonymous. Go have a good read.
All right, good. We're gonna bring on Free Hammond right now. Hello, Free Hammond, you're online.
Hi, how are you?
Free Hammond.
Are you in an airport?
No, but I am going to turn that down. I'm so sorry. I was watching something about 9/11 while I was listening to you.
Did it say anything about the Jews doing it?
No, Roseanne. I leave that to Roseanne or KY. Sorry.
So, what? Can you bring us up to speed on how Jeremy's doing? I caught a little quip last night I forget what it was on about how much he was appreciating the efforts of Op-Ed Pal in the letter writing efforts, and that it was that those types of things were keeping his spirits up. Can you fill us in a little bit about how he's doing?
Well, you know, Jeremy appreciates anything anyone does for him anyway. But we have the letter writing event going. It's not, they are not letters to Jeremy. They're letters to the judge requesting that he be given time served, which is a year and a half that he's been in jail. And we are requesting leniency in his case. He did take a non-cooperating plea deal of 10 years, and we are sending out, we've asked for letters in the hopes of a reduced sentence. So that's what's going on, and we're pretty much at the end of it now. Today was the last day the attorneys gave us, and for the most part, I think the last I checked, we were at about 250, 300 letters. I'm not really completely sure. They're still counting the letters, but it wasn't as good an outcome as I would have expected, but nevertheless, we do have them. And Jay Lederman's been great in accepting letters from people who choose to remain anonymous. There really wasn't any reason for anyone to, you know, have to worry about signing their name or putting their address, anything like that. They were going through the lawyers, but the good part about it is the first batch of them are going to Jeremy tomorrow so he can read them, and we're hoping that they're going to boost his spirits quite a bit, actually.
Regardless of whether we're asking for clemency or, you know, whatever, we can still write letters to Jeremy, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can write to them, write to Jeremy. The address to write to Jeremy is on, we have a website. It's called mailtothejail.org. And
can you put that up?
Yeah. Can you go ahead and announce it?
It's, do you want me to tell you again what it was? I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's mailtothejail.org.
Cool. Mail.
And it's actually a free and non-sponsored website. It's mailtothejail.org, and you will find addresses. It's sorted, hacktivists, activists, and whistleblowers, and their addresses are there. And you can write to Jeremy anytime. He loves the letters, and he always responds to them. So at this point, they've taken away his phone privileges. They've taken away his commissary. They've taken away his visits. So the only thing he has is those letters.
Does he still have his dreadlocks?
No.
That
picture is old. That picture is old. He does not have his dreadlocks.
God damn the man.
Is he receiving conjugal visits?
He is not receiving any visits.
Only from his roommate.
Oh.
That was not good. For another one.
Bad joke, guys.
Yeah, that one wasn't acceptable.
Wah, wah,
I'm sorry. But no, he's not allowed any visits.
Okay, so is there a letter party going around the 19th, right?
The letter party, well, we do letter parties for all prisoners. And I think the one on the 19th is, or that may be tonight, is for the NATO group. I know we have a letter party events going on for them. We've done them for Barrett. We've done several in a row for Jeremy for, you know, this particular letters for the judge. We've done letters directly to Jeremy. We've done postcard events to just trash the mailroom at the jail over the last year and a half. So we've done all kinds of letter writing events. We do them for political prisoners, for we've done them for Wormer. We did that one just a few weeks ago. We did one for John Kiriakou. So there's a number of them. We're always doing some sort of letter writing event.
Okay. So, but what essentially what I'm getting at here is that Jeremy's received less than 300 letters while KY Anonymous receives thousands and thousands and thousands of letters.
Now, KY Douche collected 200,000, allegedly collected 200,000 signatures on a petition saying that he shouldn't be prosecuted after he prostituted himself. There's
That's
a big
correct.
Difference.
And we also did a petition for Jeremy requesting that he receive time served. And just to give you a little insight, we collected 3,000 signatures
okay.
on that petition. And
if the community is out there listening and that statistic seems stark and in balance to anybody who's listening, it should. For somebody like Jeremy Hammond, who not only stepped up to the plate for a lot of activists and people who want to see change, but then has also kept his mouth shut and took some additional charges, probably for Sabu, and has only received, 3,000 signatures on a petition for leniency, while somebody like KY Anonymous, let's say 50% of his signatures are fake, is still garnering 100,000 signatures, then as a community, we really need to look at ourselves and say, what the fuck?
Well, and the other sad part is there are no charges. KY has no charges. He has not been indicted, and Hammond's been in jail for a year and a half.
I don't even
know
KY's legal tribulation to any lip service because they're garbage. He's garbage. But what is revealing about the situation is that somebody like Josh Covelli or Jeremy Hammond, or even Barrett Brown, regardless of what you think of his social skills, he's getting crucified. Then none of us are pushing in the right direction.
Pay in mind this. KY is getting indicted. People, the internet's got this whole, but he hasn't been indicted. KY's getting indicted. I'm not going to quote legal sources by saying, in quotes, it's a slam dunk, he's fucked, but I'll quote legal sources in saying it's a slam dunk, he's getting indicted. It's not a matter of if with KY. It's a matter of when.
And if you think he's gonna get away with something, just look back at the Russell League radio archives on a Roseanne Barr show.
Exactly.
He completely incriminated himself on a public internet radio show. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if someone hasn't sent whoever's going to prosecute him that show.
I'd like to say something about this because I happen to be very familiar with a lot of aspects of his particular case and other people that may or may not be involved.
Like a non-forecast?
No, definitely not. But there are others, and I am very, very familiar with them on a personal level, and they have decided to keep their mouth shut, to not say anything. They've not been served search warrants. They've just kept quiet about the whole thing. And KY's case particularly pisses me off because I know of one other person who's chose to remain quiet and not take the spotlight, not name himself, just be quiet and watch this guy be a fame whore and collect money for his air conditioning, his dogs, his dog food, his gas, his tattoos, his custom-made KY Anonymous patches. Look, I want to be sick over it. But I am familiar with one in particular who has chosen to remain quiet. And I won't
Which
mention
that
name. I won't. That won't happen. But I am personally.
Well, no. I mean, I know all the people in that op, and it's, you know, I mean, the relevance of the people that aren't talking. If they're not talking, I mean, none of them should have been talking in the first place, including
exactly.
Dirk. Including Dirk.
Dirk
couldn't shut the fuck up when he should have shut the fuck up.
Nope.
And then when he had a chance to come back online and, I don't know, perhaps shut the fuck up and, I don't know.
But it's,
you know,
like, it's
gain a little bit of humanity. The guy went on an alcoholic rampage for 3 months, incriminated himself on multiple radio shows, of which printable transcripts are all available, including Russell League Radio and Vince in the Bay,
right.
That I personally either listened to or had a hand in, while absolutely laughing my ass off watching this kid incriminate himself into tiny chats, into this, into that, into this, into that, logs, 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 and then to have attorneys from the whatever the hell it is, WDF, the Wigger Defense League, or Witness Defense League, or whatever it is, the white guys that want to be Wigger Defense League, WDF, you know, tell me that he's completely and utterly fucked. If they tell me he's fucked, he's fucked. And
well, I'll
he's
tell
fucked.
You this. There's, I know you guys are familiar with Don Carpenter's writing about KI, and an article was put out, I don't know, a month or two ago about Don Carpenter, and someone had questioned KY about personal donations, and KY said, suck my dick.
Well
yes. Unfortunately, if you look at the tweet, the person he tweeted that to was me under a different Twitter name.
And Don has been really good at sort of counter whistle blowing on KY. I gotta give Don credit for that. But KY buried himself as far as, I mean, you know, KY is all about the victim, but he left a slug trail of misogynistic YouTube videos, which are absolutely viewable. At least one of them's viewable at encyclopediadramatica.es/KY_anonymous, along with many, many others. Not to mention that incredible world-winning tiny chat four weeks ago, where he managed to expose himself to the world and make us all lose our appetites. There is no better diet pill than the non-manscaped lower regions of an inbred Kentucky hick than that little tiny chat video. I was actually in that video room when that happened, and I actually put down my tablet when he threatened to do it, walked away, went outside, stuck a finger down my throat, purged myself of all the Steel Reserve beer that I didn't drink because I has Candy likes it, came back inside, it had already happened and been screenshot, and then watched him scream, let's see, fuck America, fuck the FBI, fuck the CIA, fuck the DHS, fuck this, fuck it. He had so many, he screamed fuck so many three-letter things that I literally, at the end of the day, had forgotten how many things that he had screamed fuck at.
Well, you know, his tweet about, it was several months back, about his indictment and, oh, I'm going to spend a quarter of my life in jail. I'll never have children. You know, for somebody
who... He should never have children. We're in agreement about that.
But for someone, and you have to understand, I know Jeremy personally. I'm not just his super fan or anything like that. I've known him.
He shouldn't have children either.
What?
Go on.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it, and it sounds like I probably am happy that I didn't. But anyway, I've known him for a very long time. I've known Jeremy since he was a teenager. The fact is, when there is a guy sitting there talking and whining like a crying girl who's just been dumped by a guy, that a quarter of his life is over, and he'll never have children. And I have somebody sitting in jail with his mouth shut, taking his licks and dealing with his own things on his own level. I'm like, you know what? You offend me. KY offends me.
No matter
what you think of Barrett Brown, he's taking his licks too. And he's getting his ass kicked. 100 years in jail for sharing a link?
Barrett Brown, look, this whole 100 years in jail thing for Barrett Brown is a giant raft of bullshit.
Yes, it is, but that is what he stands to serve.
That's not what he stands to even come fucking close to getting. Barrett's looking at like 3 to 7, not 100 years. The 100 years is something for activists to wave a giant unironed eBay anonymous flag about.
Okay.
Barrett's going to catch like 3 for his stupid YouTube videos. And beyond that, in my opinion, he shouldn't catch anything. I mean, he should catch 3, which means he should be out in about 6 months. For
but
threatening
a federal
agents'
crime.
Kids.
You don't
look,
get
if some,
time
I was like,
for,
look,
for,
you know, well,
you don't
let
get
me
time
let me,
off I mean, for a federal crime.
You get
I mean,
you do
the full deal.
You do 80. No, you do 80 for federal time. You do 85%.
80%.
85. Exactly.
Man.
But let me tell you something, just so that you understand where Barrett Brown was coming from and his little queer-ass personal army. Barrett Brown and I did not get along. I used to go into Barrett's little wine-sipping tiny chats where the non-award-winning journalist used to rant and rave and smoke pot and drink 99-cent 40 ounces of beer and verbally abuse Jenna. I was there for all that shit. And... Since Barrett's such a fucking hero, Barrett threatened to sic his personal army on me and dox me. And, you know, that was, you know, and I went, ooh, gosh, golly, Barrett, really? Can you? You got Spokio? Okay, do your best. Okay, so what did Barrett do? Since Barrett's girlfriend installed Tor for him, since he did not know how to do, he did not know how to dump an EXE file for himself, and Jenna had to install Tor for him and had to teach him how to use IRC, Barrett went after my docs once, twice, and the third time, well, it just didn't work out for him. But Barrett and his little personal army and his little failed docs and shit like that, you're not going to get a lot of fucking sympathy from me about Barrett Brown and the machine and whatever else, because Barrett as a human being, I don't care. You know, Barrett was given oral Suboxone. Oral. That's O-R-A-L, meaning taken by mouth. That doesn't mean you cook it, stuff it in the needle, and run in your bathroom and fucking shoot it. And that's what Barrett was doing, shooting oral Suboxone, cooking it down. You know what that was about? He was on it for 2 years. You're supposed to be on it for 6 months. You know what that was about? That was about he didn't want to go down to the barrio and spend $10 on a packet and stick it in his arm like everybody else. So he got a doctor that would feed him oral Suboxone. Then when he detoxed, it was because he went through too much of his Suboxone too quick and ran out and didn't want to go to the ghetto to spend $10 because he was too busy hanging out in his one-bedroom apartment, verbally abusing his girlfriend, smoking pot, and threatening to dox people with his personal army. So don't bring Barrett Brown to me as somebody's personal fucking hero. I appreciate what he did with Project PM, but don't make the guy seem like he's any sort of personable anything, because he wasn't. He was a piece of shit. If he stayed off the internet, written his business, he would have been okay. But other than that, fuck him and the horse he rode in on.
Gonzo, I appreciate what you're saying, and I can certainly see that side of it, but being a douchebag isn't against the law.
No, being a douchebag isn't against the law. But
regardless.
When you want to cross because you don't like what somebody's saying, which would be me, Barrett didn't like what I was saying, so Barrett decided to bring my family into it and put my family in the way of swatting over a bunch of personal disagreements that had nothing to do with any of the stuff that he was working on or writing. It was all because he was a fucking cross-eyed junkie fuckhead. then you're not going to get an awful lot of anything but glee from me when someone kicks his door down and pounds the fucking shit out of him. So you want to make it, you want to make a hero out of the guy after the fact, go ahead, lionize the guy. That's all, that's all well and good with me. I don't give a shit. You know, I appreciate the work he did on Project PM, but I've also read 200 or 300 logs of his from IRC where he was encouraging people to go break into websites, deface things, fuck things up, break shit, dox people, and cause problems for their families. So is the world safer with Barrett Brown where he is? Yes, the world is safer with Barrett Brown where he is. And he can go eat, eat, and really, he can eat shit, because you know what? He's there, and I'm here, and fuck him. So,
now,
whatever.
Now, that being said, and if he, you know, I don't know about your personal situation with Barrett, and you know, frankly, a lot of what you say, I agree with, you know. But like I said, you know, aside from bringing in your family, and you know, I mean, let me go on record as saying I think doxing is probably the silliest little component of this whole subculture that I've come across. But you know, but being a douchebag and being a loquacious and overly you know, fantastical douchebag doesn't necessarily mean you should spend 100 years in jail. And I agree
absolutely.
You're doxed. You're a Barrett Brown sympathizer. You're doxed.
And hey, look, you know, I don't care about, you know, I'm glad Barrett did all the work he did with private government contractors and all that shit. There's a personal component to my situation that 99.9% of other people don't have.
Right.
So,
and
you know,
if
anyone on the internet tries to drag my family into a situation where they can get swatted, then I'm gonna be very, very distressed about that.
Yeah,
and
Gonzo, I'll get in the car and go somewhere, man.
Gonzo, I'm gonna step up, like, and you know, I've been quiet for a minute. I think that's the most retarded thing.
It was retarded.
The swatting thing is absolutely stupid. I volunteer with rescue squad in my area. I'm not going to, you know, say what area, but, you know, that's absolutely a waste of fucking resources for, you know, especially in an area like mine where most volunteer rescue is volunteer. Like,
look,
you're not wasting money swatting people. You're wasting volunteer hours.
All I'm saying is, you know, between, you know, look, I like Kevin. I like Aegis, who runs Free Barrett, and I agree with him, with Kevin, that a lot of the things that, you know, that Barrett did were agreeable and positive things.
I agree.
But one to one, the day before Barrett got raided, I was about 3 or 4 millimeters away from being on Barrett's front door myself and punching him in the fucking eye for threatening to put my family on the line for a bunch of personal bullshit from a tiny chat that had nothing to do with anything that Michael Hastings or Boogie Woogie or Project PM. I mean, you don't fame fag your private army into and start dropping fail doxes on me and threatening me with SWATs for, your lack of opiates. Sorry. That doesn't make you a hero in my book. That makes you a fucking punching bag.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. You know that.
I'm 1/1000th of 1% of the people on the internet who I actually had a lot of interpersonal interaction with Barrett, and a lot of it was negative because he was a mess. You know,
and
people
I
who
that,
just
well, and
he was a mess.
And that's not, you know, and that's, you know, I got to let the rest of the people think, you know, as far as a person goes, he was morally and spiritually bankrupt as a human being. And you want to blame that on opiates, that's fine. I mean, I've talked to Kevin, who's actually talked to Barrett, and Kevin said that, you know, in retrospect, Barrett is mindful of the issues that he caused and is sorry for the way he behaved. So if you want to just – if you want to erase – if you want to take all that away, then – if you want to take all that shit away, then I support – then I support Barrett if you want to take all that away. But my personal experience was extremely problematic with Barrett.
My personal experience with Barrett was very limited. And so let's, like, take that away because, obviously, like, I don't want to talk about anybody behind their back, and he obviously can't participate in this conversation.
Well, here's the way I see this whole thing, and I think this honestly goes for not only Barrett, but for Snowden, for Assange, for Jeremy, for all of us that have seen some sort of spotlight image or some whatnot, but we're not gods. None of us have done, we're not superheroes. We don't do any great things. So I hate when people will defend somebody without actually questioning them. Like, okay, Barrett did great things. Barrett may continue to do great things, but let's not hold Barrett to some sort of high esteem that Barrett's a great guy or a great person to look up to. Because when he gets out, he's going to hold that. And then people are going to start following his nonsense. And it could go bad. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it won't.
Josh,
I'm just saying that let's look at it as people. We're people.
I'm still free. I'm not the best person in the world. I try to do good things. I try to respect humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That is all I try to do.
But, Josh, you make a great point. I mean, I think with you know, quite a few people who have found the spotlight, you know, either unwillingly or maybe willingly, but that there is this character, this persona that gets created in the mind of you know, our public, our world, and the fact of the matter is, man, we're all as infallible and prone to mistakes and poor judgment calls from one time to another as the rest of us. You know, and I think taking into consideration what Gonzo just said about, you know, about Barrett kind of blurring those lines of personal and the research and the work he did, that's a road, you know, to nothing but trouble. Whether you know you're on the side of the aggressor who, you know, releases somebody's information or their family's information, you know, or you're on the other side. Which it sounds like, you know, you are, Josh, and I like to think I am, you know, is just to go out there and do the best we can and fight what we can for, you know, and when we put these characters up on a pedestal or up on a platform that's, you know, either negative or positive, you know, it completely detracts from been imperative that they originally had in mind when they took upon the challenge that they took. So
to be fair, guys, don't look at the guy for who he was. look at the guy for what he did. And that's coming from somebody that would have happily Doc Martin jackbooted the shit out of him up to the day he got banned.
I look at Barrett for his research. I think Barrett Brown was is a meticulous researcher. I think that whoever
he was a cocky bastard.
But he did do good
he
research.
He did good research. He was a cocky bastard.
Well, when you say he did good research, he was really influenced by a lot of people that while he was trying, if Barrett had stuck to the facts, he would have done a lot better. But he got twisted around by a lot of people that he considered sources that weren't legitimate sources. And
yeah.
I don't want to go into the last thing I want to do is bring a bunch of they who should not be named into the arena. But
yeah.
Barrett got yanked around by if Barrett had just been left alone to shoot oral Suboxone and smoke brown weed and drink 40 ounces and do his research, if he'd been left alone and if he hadn't insisted on being a presence on social media, Twitter had a lot to do with his seriously Twitter had a lot to do with Barrett's being what's the word I'm looking for?
Really
unbalanced.
Did.
Imbalanced. A lot of Barrett's imbalance came from social media and the people that he listened to.
Sorry to interrupt. Now we have a message from our own sponsors. Monsanto, we love you, we poison you, and we're going to bully you until you still actually plant. Yeah.
Fun fact of the day, Barrett Brown did not like kittens, dogs, small children, women, or Jews. Now, I think we should move on to a new topic.
Agreed.
Josh had brought it up earlier.
Golf!
About not making Barrett Brown into a god, but let's talk about a god for a second. Right now,
right.
As many people know, Josh the God of UG Nazi fame is currently in prison. Any sympathizers out there for Josh the God? I've seen it on Twitter.
No.
Is he/she incarcerated?
Isn't she like a
rebel? Rebel. Why? Why you do this?
And is the FBI running his Twitter account?
Yeah, of
Josh
course the
God for life.
FBI is running his Twitter account.
They
got 31,000 followers, and he's in New York Correctional. Who else would be running it? Well, that's not entirely off base. I mean, Z could be.
Yeah, wait. By that logic, then how's Rabbi tweeting?
Well, no, that's clear. Rabbi's keys. His friends have Rabbi's. Rabbi's friends have his keys. But, I mean, Zekiel could be running Josh's Twitter, but, I mean, it's highly unlikely because Z got banned too. So, I mean, that's just a touchy topic, Rebel. So, who won tonight, Detroit or Boston?
Boston actually won 1-0.
See, that's because Boston kicks ass. Did you bet on Boston, Rebel?
I did not. I don't bet on my own teams. I'm very superstitious.
Don't bet on your. So, well, then you should have bet against the other team, right?
But then I would have been cheering for the other team. And that would have been. Hypocritical.
No, if you bet against them, if you bet against Detroit, you wouldn't have been cheering for them. You'd have been cheering for the Red Sox.
Well, that's the thing. Every time I bet on, you know, the Chicago Bears or the New York Knicks or the Boston Red Sox, it puts the jinx on them, and I don't like to put the jinx on them.
I see. So, Rebel, question. So, neon golf balls. Is that
neon
a legitimate
golf ball
thing? Is that a legitimate thing? Pink, yellow, orange, versus just plain classic white.
Those are only allowed at the women's tees, right?
I've always thought that pure white, you know, like white power or virgin white or, you know, wear a veil on your wedding day. I've always thought that was the thing. But
pure
lately
golf.
I've seen these orange balls and pink balls and yellow balls. I have yet to see any blue balls, except when you gave me all of Becalina's kick account photos. I saw some blue balls there. I'll never forget those. Horrible. Anyhow, so what are your thoughts on colored balls, Rebel?
You know, I like the neon yellow Shirksons. They're actually, I believe, made for older people that have trouble seeing the golf ball. But you know,
for the range golfing also. That's what we use them like in the Western Slope.
Dallas, you play golf?
Yes, I do.
Right on, brother.
I'm a recreational golfer myself. I dabble, and I must admit, I'm a white ball person, mainly because I'm racist and.
You're a Presbyterian golfer, as opposed to the other.
Who the fuck is a Presbyterian golfer? Okay, right. K-Street's calling some bitches out. What the fuck is a Presbyterian golfer?
Well, a Presbyterian golfer is definitely not an Episcopalian golfer, which would differ from a Catholic golfer, which would differ from a Jewish golfer.
Well, there's no question a Catholic golfer and a Presbyterian golfer differ, but does a Presbyterian golfer and an Episcopalian golfer really differ?
Jews don't have time to play golf.
They differ greatly, and Catholic golfers are always consumed by guilt, so they have a much different handicap.
But they still cheat. They still cheat like a motherfucker.
Their handicap is, I feel you there.
All right, we don't have much time left, and I do want to bring this back around to Josh because he was very gracious to come on the show. And
is this Josh the God?
No,
Josh
no,
the other one.
Wait, no, Josh the PayPal 14 God.
Yes,
yeah, there you
Josh,
go. That God.
I think he would be remiss to hear you refer to him as a God. But
can you hear me, Major Tom?
But I do want to emphasize that the fact that we've been talking about KY Anonymous and Barrett Brown, I don't equate those individuals, with people like Josh, and I don't have the exposure to Jeremy that I've been fortunate enough to have to Josh on Twitter, but we are talking about two different breeds of activists. Or two different breeds of consciousness, maybe, or two different breeds of perception.
Fifty Shades of Gay.
So they made a casting change in that movie. don't take advantage of my short attention span, please.
No, I'm going to take advantage of you knowing that they made a casting change in that fucking movie.
Google alerts. He's got him.
Oh my God, he's got TMZ hotwired into his iPad.
You and
Charlie
me.
Hunnan.
Thank
Charlie
you,
Hunnan
Aaron, for
quit.
The RSS feed.
Hey, you know why the guy? You know why the guy quit? Because he's gay. The pretty boy from Sons of Anarchy likes other boys, so he couldn't do the 50 Shades of Gay thing because, well, you know.
He would have been too gay.
Hetero.
He's not a good actor, that's what you're saying. I understand.
So he would have messed up his role on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and he just has to be a biker and wear a bunch of leather and, you know, wearing leather and playing a biker is not exactly not gay, as opposed to, you know, wearing a suit and, you know, having to actually fuck a chick. That's a little bit more complicated.
Hang out with Antichrist, like, I don't know, once through a hurricane
and twice through another hurricane. But
I better add, not that there's anything wrong with that at the end.
And Josh, where are you at in this conversation if you're still with us? in our last few minutes, seriously, I want to clearly you don't like the spotlight on you, and I respect that.
Josh just doesn't want to self-incriminate on air for you assholes. That's all.
He'll talk all day.
Ask Josh about Angelina Jolie's breast implants, and he will talk all day.
Not hardly.
Fucking asshole. Angelina's breasts?
No. Dear Lord.
I thought they were gone.
Not that important.
I thought they were in the Smithsonian. Did you just call me an asshole? But
I heard the word fly.
Josh, bring us. You know, if you are still there, bring us back to Earth, and let us know what's up in the next in the next 6-12 weeks in your battle. As much as you can tell us.
Right.
That would be awesome.
We have another court date scheduled on October 31st. It's going to be in San Jose.
Court date on Halloween?
Yeah.
I would think that's good luck.
I'm hoping. I want to go in a costume, but my lawyers are advising against it, so I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But
Josh, you should go as Stanley.
I tried last time. They wouldn't let me. I had my hair grown out and everything. My beard happening? No. They wouldn't let me have.
You need that whole Jufro thing going hard.
He has that trademark. You didn't know he trademarked that?
So, Josh, Josh, I got to ask you this. On a serious note, Worth of the World actually lost her brother not too long ago. Thoughts and prayers out to her and her family. She's played a huge part in making sure you guys have housing and making sure your schedule is taken care of out there. Is she still playing an active role, even dealing with the tragedy with you guys coming out there in a couple weeks?
As far as I know, no. It kind of made public surface on Twitter after our last court appearance out in California, but we sort of had a little disagreement and falling out.
Gosh.
I've recently talked to her reached out to her and said, you know, I feel bad and all this other stuff, but we still haven't really gotten that all figured out. So she is doing her own thing, and I wish her well, and I hope that she can, you know, deal and take care of the things in her life right now.
Josh, didn't we not get your thing sorted out for this court appearance?
Yeah, we got it sorted out. Since I didn't end up going last time.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure.
Still good.
If not, DM me and we'll fix that. Okay.
Rock on. No, we're good.
Okay, cool.
But anyway,
Rebel, thanks for bringing up Worth. Originally, she was going to be part of this show, and our sincerest, what can you say? Just our hearts are with her. Out there, she does a ton of stuff for the anonymous community, whatever spin you want to put on that, but especially those who are incarcerated. And, yeah, our thoughts are definitely with her. So, Josh, you have a court date out in Cali in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Now, with the rehab thing, that was for smoking herb?
Yep.
Has that complicated anything for you?
Have what?
Has that complicated anything for you?
No, well, it did at first, but it eventually made it easier because I was on pretrial release, where it's kind of like probation. You got to go see an officer and once a month or once every couple weeks. But then after I kept going through this stuff, the judge kept seeing me. And, like, every time that I went in front of this judge, I was ready to be remanded into custody. I wasn't expecting any leniency. I wasn't expecting them to say, you know, we'll work with you, we're going to do this for you, and then we'll set you aside. I was expecting to go to jail. So the judge notices this each time I go back, even though he's puzzled as to why I'm showing up, like, why can't he just listen to what he's supposed to do? He notices that I'm not a piece of shit. Like, I'm not just out there to piss him off. Like, I'm setting an example and saying that whatever, why I'm being tested and what I'm being tested for is dumb as shit. And, like, I've had pretrial people agree with me. The people in rehab ended up agreeing with me in the end.
Okay,
the final court date after I got out. Yeah.
Oh, go on real quick.
The final date I got out of court, or I went to court for my final court date after rehab, and the judge looked at me and said, you know what, you showed up to all these court dates, and I've looked through the statute of why pretrial even piss tests, and it doesn't have anything to do with you, and so we're going to take you off pretrial, and you're now charged to your lawyers. So instead of reporting to pretrial, I report to my lawyers saying, hey, I'm doing community service, I'm doing all this, and they're sending it off to court. So it's, even though I've struggled a bit, it's made my life a little easier.
Wow.
Stanley says, smoke more pot, right?
Right, all day.
Stanley says, smoke weed all day. So, there you go.
That's interesting. I mean, I think kind of what you're saying is that by breaking terms of release by smoking weed, it gave you an opportunity to present yourself to somebody who's accountable for their actions, and to present yourself that way to the legal system, and from one herb smoker to another, I commend you on that. One to another, I commend you on that. I'm glad that it hasn't steered things in a darker direction.
Because that rehab was awfully fun for Josh. Josh enjoyed
that rehab. Fuck
rehab,
that rehab.
Josh had lots of fun when he tested positive and had to go to that rehab, and his Twitter went dark, and we all wondered where the fuck he was and whether or not he'd ever be coming back. And then he came back, and et cetera, et cetera.
That was when, if we bring it up real quick, that was when Worth actually started helping me out, and then kind of spawned into everybody else. Was when I went to rehab, because I showed up in San Jose for my court date knowing nobody. And this had been almost a year after my arrest. I hadn't connected with anything. Like, I had been talking to people on Twitter, and nobody knew who I was and saying all this stuff. And finally, Sicko and Ma and Worth and Pixie showed up at my hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, not knowing me for anybody, just knowing that I was going to court for this shit. And so it was just kind of a really awesome thing that happened with Worth there. So that's all when that happened.
Let me freeze time for a moment and that statement you just made.
Yeah.
Specifically a couple of the people you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into this subculture in 2010 or so on, that is what this community represented to
mm-hmm.
is exactly what you just said, is that some people came down who had no idea who you were, except for what you had done through this community and for, you know, what the collective cause, for lack of a better term, and showed up and gave you love and support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're feds.
You go, Josh. Right on, man. Oh, shit.
I experienced the most out of that out of Occupy.
Because you're all feds.
All right. I am sorry to interrupt everyone here, but I just had a quick question. Why the hell everyone is presenting Anonymous as fucking heroes and that they deserve something that they don't?
Is this candy?
I have candy?
I want candy.
Okay.
Dun, dun,
wait,
dun,
is this
dun,
I have candy?
Dun,
hold on.
I want candy.
No, hold on. Is this
dun,
I have candy?
Dun, 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 dun.
I want candy. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
I want candy. Because
I want to know why I Have Candy decides he needs to suck the asshole of Adrian Lamo but can't simply ask me a fucking question.
Oh, shit. I can certainly ask you a question.
Candy,
no, the last
can certainly.
Time you tried to ask
no, wait,
me a question,
wait,
shoved it down
I have
my throat
a question.
Like
I have a question for Candy. Hey, Candy, why could I trace through your honeypots dancing and taking a giant dump on your servers while you impotently sat in your fucking plywood-floored trailer in Texas whining your bitch ass out and trying to get my IP? Dun, 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 I want candy. Dun, dun,
oh, Gonzo, you are such a
fake-ass
bitch.
I want candy.
Man to man.
Yeah, let's go. What do you want to know?
Right.
Why should I go die in a prison cell? Come on.
I'm sorry, Candy, you didn't answer the question again.
Quite simply, you should die in a prison cell because you were fucking, you know,
awesome.
a goddamn criminal.
Why am I a criminal, Candy?
That's all you got?
Candy, that's all you got, nigger? Come on.
You are interrupting who I'm talking to. Shut the fuck up.
No. No, you're interrupting this show that I was talking on. So you close your greasy white pie hole.
You mad?
But Mom, he keeps interrupting me, Mom.
Candy, you'll never make me mad.
You mad?
Nope.
Yep.
No, Candy, because you're half the man that I'll ever be.
Hey, I had.
Candy.
With Josh.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Well.
Candy,
you know.
Dun, 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 dun. I want candy. Dun, dun,
hey, Gonzo,
dun, dun.
A very dark future, that is what is in store for you. A very dark
future. Awesome. Hold on. Come up with a better threat, dude. How about one that makes I want one that makes me want to trim. I want one that makes me want to go manscape myself with a pair of prison shears.
I don't want
Gonzo.
You to fear it. I want you to
Gonzo,
have
your
nudes, guard.
Your nudes will
down.
Be released by I Has Candy in 45 minutes.
Sweet dude. He, you know what he'll do? He'll just Photoshop a picture of Danny's brain shot. That's all.
Danny.
Actually, Candy, I did mean to ask you, whatever happened with the whole thing where was it Jackal that you suspected of being a pedophile and you posted a picture of what was supposedly Jackal, but it was off of a like European porn site?
I'm pretty sure that was Jackal. That was just a random anon.
I was presenting. The entire thing was fake, obviously.
David, don't talk. Don't even talk.
The most interesting thing was where the image was stored was a server that had their public logs accessible.
Okay,
so I was able.
5 minutes left.
So I was able to see everyone who viewed that image, who, you know, traced it down using
candy.
Using everything.
So it was a putty hat. It was a hunch pot.
Yes, it was.
Hey, Dallas.
Candy all the time. All right, candy,
we got
drink
five,
that wine.
We have five minutes left. Josh, if you'd like the floor to say anything further, it's yours. Let's have some respect for Josh. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, taking the time out, brother. You know, so final thoughts from Josh Covelli, battling for all of us, really.
Even candy.
Battling, what a load of shit.
Rebel wants candy. Dun, 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 dun. Rebel wants candy.
Rebel has candy.
Mm.
Ooh.
So,
oh, baby.
As far as anything,
sexy.
Yeah, I don't really have anything. Watch all the cases. Watch how everything plays out. I'm no hero. I don't think anybody else should get any sort of title as such. But we all took or got the chance to stand up, and we all still have the chance to stand up. As far as KY goes, those fucking ops need to be, people need to stand up for those girls. In their own
fuck
fucking
KY.
Take.
Fuck KY. Fuck KY. What the hell is wrong with you?
I only fuck with KY, baby.
Josh. Hey, Josh.
I
would say
fuck KY, but yeah, that's it.
Josh, if you need anything, you know how to reach me.
Yep, definitely do, brother.
Thanks,
but,
guys.
Thanks,
Josh,
for having me be on the show. This is awesome. Appreciate it.
I just want you to die.
Candy,
please.
Look, I will rock and bow you.
Do it.
Will you rock with me?
Do it.
Will you? No, it's together. Like, we have to meet up face-to-face and kick each other in the balls, but I get to go first.
Okay, that's fine. Meet me up in, let's say, Vegas.
I can't go. Look, I'm restricted on my travel, so you either have to meet me in California or you get to come to Ohio.
Poor you and that ankle bracelet.
But let's get up to final thoughts, please.
Hey, Rebel, what was the name of that field goal kicker that wore that block shirt?
Final thoughts. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Anonymous needs to die, and anyone who supports him needs to die. All of you fucking die. Thank you, and good night.
Hey, Candy, you're the biggest Anonymous supporter I've ever come across, man.
Okay, he hung up.
No,
he
didn't.
He went off to drink more Steel Reserve and fucking jerk it to some vinyl doll.
Bow, chicka, wow, wow.
Why didn't he have leukemia?
Right.
This has been an excellent show, gentlemen. Great dialogue, great panel. This for a
absolutely
first show, you guys did a fantastic job.
Rebel, thank you so much. And Gonzo, thanks so much for calling in. Pragmatism is refreshing and really spot on. Josh, I can't thank you enough for calling in and being part of the show. And I know, you know, you're not a hero, but I think a lot of people, if they were to imagine themselves in the shoes that you walk in now, would like to picture themselves conducting their behavior in a similar fashion to how you have conducted your behavior.
Someone has a man crush. Someone has a man crush.
Hey, man. It's possible.
And, you know, it would not have been a proper first radio show without Candy calling in after he chewed, like, 7 Adderall and chased them with a whole bunch of, and chased them with a whole bunch of 99-cent quarts of Steel Reserve. Now David Heine will take to Twitter to threaten all of us with imminent doom. Rebel, I'll be over in about 15 minutes. I'm going to need to borrow your bunker.
So
I cannot hide from the wrath of Candy behind
behind my three VPNs and several proxies, because my iPad is crashing because it's iOS 7, which was an entirely different show. So me and a one-gallon bottle of Xanax and a quart of Bacardi 151, I'll be at your house in about 15 minutes.
I have nine irons to protect both of us.
Sweet, and I'm going to need Beckling his nudes to keep me warm. Because, you never provide enough blankets.
All right. We're in overtime, boys.
Awesome, man.
Well, and we have to...
Now no one's got nothing to say.
Right?
Yeah. Now there's nothing but dead silence. Bring candy back on.
Alex, get it off, brother.
I mean,
Guys, it was a really good show. I mean, it was definitely thought producing, and
you guys did a great job.
Right.
The only thing the only improvement I think you guys should make for next show is, I'm not sure if you guys are doing it on your cell phones or not, but the audio coming from Dalek is definitely a little shifty. Maybe work on a better mic or something along those lines to come out a little clearer, because it is at some points just a little quiet.
Yeah, Logitech, $9. I mean, no big deal.
It's a cell phone, so.
Oh, well, for God's sakes, yeah, the $9 Logitech mic. Newegg.
I'll send you a mic, man. You did killer though, man. You did awesome.
Definitely.
No, it was good. Newegg.com, you can buy microphones for, I mean, Reptan Gordon has had a radio show and has never bothered to buy a microphone because no one, like Candy Show, no one actually listens. So it's really not a big deal. Candy could have a $1,500 mic, and it really wouldn't matter because there's only him and Hammy that actually do his show.
I'm actually looking forward to, I have a new show coming out, Revolution Radio, that's this Thursday at 10 p.m. I'm excited. I got nice little...
What are you using for that, Rebel? You're not using BTR, so what are you using?
Actually, I'm starting on BTR. And,
you are? Okay.
Right now, myself, which is not contributing anything except for monetary value, and I've got three or four people that I won't release names, but we all know who they are on Twitter, are actually, like Ian, we're actually building a site to possibly, we're never going to be able to build it as well as BTR because we don't have their money, but a site that we could possibly broadcast from, but definitely a site where we're going to be able to promote the Revolution Radio shows, Wrestle League Radio, Revolution Radio, and Puppy's Show.
Yeah.
Okay,
we're gonna
have the archives there. We're gonna have information on the shows, and hopefully at some point be able to live broadcast from there. But yeah, we are using BTR for now. But I've got a nice little setup. We're gonna start this Thursday at 10. My White Ninja is coming on. I'm interviewing Ryan Evans, who is a beat writer for Poker News. We're going to discuss the Embargo Act and the possible legalization early next year of internet poker.
Looking forward to it.
I
thought you were researching that. Sorry, I was lurking on your timeline a little bit. If you're short a guest or anything, let me know. I have a buddy of mine who makes his living playing online poker. He does really well. Chris Wilson is his name. I asked him if I could throw his name around. He said no problem. Christopher Wilson, and he would be more than willing to come on your show. Give me a holler.
This is actually the closest I've come to actually doxing myself. But if you do your research, you might be able to find it. From about 2006 to about 2009, I actually played professionally, played poker professionally online, mainly on PokerStars. And was actually featured in Bluff Magazine and Poker News. There's quite a few articles that were written about me. I did something extraordinarily rare that they actually did some articles on me. So do a little research, see if you can find that. Yeah, I played professionally for about three and a half years before President Bush snuck the internet. I can't remember the name of it now, but he snuck it in the back of the Embargo Act.
Yeah.
And outlawed online gambling. So, yeah, we're going to have Ryan Evans on. He's a beat writer for Poker News. He actually did my story back in 2009, and he's going to come on to talk to us a little bit about the bill that's actually up in Congress right now. It's not really doing anything right now, but it's looking like possibly early next year they're looking to legalize some portions of online gambling under jurisdiction of the United States government.
Now, since I and we're going to have to talk about Rebel, we're going to have to talk about how after all your use of the Silk Road and the government taking your Bitcoin wallet, how that's affected your current fiscal status.
Okay. No,
Rebel was the number one buyer of Viagra on Silk Road.
Actually, it was heroin-laced Viagra. That's why it was
heroin-laced, yes, because there's nothing like a down before an awful lot of up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yo, thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Very much.
Take care,
guys.
Great
show with you all, you guys.
Hey, Dallas, you did awesome, brother. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Take care, guys.
Yeah,
have a good one, Gonzo.
Thanks, man. Gonzo, Delic, K Street, I love you. Be safe, fellas.
Yes, everyone. Have a wonderful
day. Rebel, thank you so much, man. Seriously.
You got it. Good job, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. All right, Ain't Crisis. Well, another great show. Any characters? Great show, guys. See you on the next episode of Pushdown and Turn
Radio for the Uneducated.